The impeachment inquiry of Donald Trump is our topic for this portion of Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Abraham Hamilton III, who's the general counsel and a public policy analyst for the American Family Association, and he's also a talk show host on the AFA Radio Network. Abraham, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to join you again.
Yeah. Now, tell us about the impeachment inquiry. It seems as if, you know, from one perspective, it's a witch hunt. From the other perspective, they think Trump did something wrong here, that there was a quid pro quo request in his or demand in his phone call with Ukraine.
Yeah, there are several things that concern me about this, and frankly, I'll just tell you right from the beginning of the interview that I refer to this impeachment inquiry as the latest stage three or four in the continual resistance effort against President Donald Trump. You will remember, I'm sure, that 19 minutes after President Trump was inaugurated, the Washington Post issued a headline saying that the campaign to impeach Donald Trump begins. President Trump begins now. That was in January of 2017.
Wow.
Prior to that, there was a campaign to try to overturn the will of the American people at the Electoral College stage. Then after that, you had the onset of what became the 2 to 3 year Russian collusion investigation.
Yeah.
And it seems that after each one of these efforts fails, there's another one immediately following that has the exact same objective. Congressman Al Green from Houston, Texas, he said earlier back in May, this is when many people thought the Bob Mueller investigation would net a different result. He said that he's afraid that if President Trump is not impeached, he will be reelected. So in my view, this entire resistance effort is not a pursuit of justice. This is an electoral strategy, because I believe the Democrat Party is concerned that their current slate of candidates won't be able to beat the president at the ballot box. So they're employing this as an electoral strategy, not as a pursuit of justice.
Wow, this is a very, very serious thing, because this is using a political weapon, I guess, in a way in which the results, I mean, they're basically trying to undo the election results. But this is scary, because what does this mean for the future? I maintain this. March 4, 1797 was one of the most important days in world history. March 4, 1797. Why? What happened then? Well, George Washington stepped down as our first president under the Constitution. John Adams, our second president, took power. What a wonderful thing, a peaceful transition. But this attempt to, you know, basically use political means to dethrone Donald Trump, maybe that's a bad verb to use, but, you know, to take him out of power, is a means by which, you know, they're saying, we don't like the election results and we're not going to take it. It's terrible.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. And it's a harrowing day for our republic. You referred to the most recent iteration of the resistance effort, the reference to the president's phone call to the president of Ukraine, referring to quid pro quo. We have evidence. We know that the Ukrainian president had no idea what the status was concerning funding for military support in Ukraine. So in order to have a quid pro quo, you have to have a quid and a quo. If the Ukrainian president is completely unaware of what is going on, then how can you say that the president is influencing him negatively in order to achieve some type of personal objective? And secondarily, the reference to quid pro quo, in my opinion, is a willful ignorance concerning how foreign policy is conducted. Senator Bernie Sanders is currently on the campaign trail arguing that Israel would have to change its stance concerning how it deals with the Palestinian circumstances in order to receive additional flow of support from the American government. Well, what is that? That is utilizing the American coffers as a tool to get your way in Israel policy. That's exactly what they're accusing President Trump of. During the Obama administration, he and with the aid of Secretary Hillary Clinton threatened African nations with the withholding of funds unless they changed their stances on same-sex marriage in certain African nations and unless they embraced abortion there. What do you call that?
bullying.
What our mainstream media is describing a quid pro quo is actually the way that foreign policy is conducted. They would have more of a footing to stand on if they could show the president was trying to do something for himself personally. But in fact, based on the transcript of the phone call and all of the testimony surrounding it, what is clear is that the president was seeking to root out corruption in our nation and communicating to the Ukrainian president that he wasn't so sure about trusting them yet, but he recognizes that his presidency represents a new day in Ukrainian politics. So using these things as a basis to advance an impeachment narrative is just deceptive on one hand, and it's just a continued effort to try to unseat the sitting president, as you referred to earlier.
You know, it's interesting. First of all, let me back up. When we talk about the Mueller thing, for two to three years, they were dealing with this Mueller. And then when Mr. Mueller finally faced the cameras and the questioning and so forth, I feel sorry for the guy. I mean, it's like the guy, it's almost like they, you know, he just wasn't prepared for, you know, for what happened on that day. But certainly the whole thing petered out. And then it's like you say, oh, let's go to plan B.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, that it was like maybe plan C or D. Because there have been attempt after attempt after attempt after attempt after attempt to gain public support for removing the president that just petered out, as you said. And so this impeachment issue is the latest iteration of that. I think I could be wrong here, but Nancy Pelosi of you have to pass the bill to find what's in it fame, I think she maybe jumped the gun a little bit thinking that the phone call to the Ukrainian president had things in it that just frankly were not in it. I mean, the initial whistleblower complaint claimed to have dialogue between the president, from President Trump to the president of Ukraine, that's just factually inaccurate. It's completely factually inaccurate. Nevertheless, this impeachment inquiry continues on. And the last indication, I won't say the last, one of the major indications from my view that we know this is a political strategy is because most people who are paying attention to this know that the likelihood of the Senate removing President Trump is extremely unlikely. So if you know that, why would you be so committed to pursuing this impeachment inquiry when the American people would have the opportunity, if they don't want President Trump, if we don't want President Trump, we have the opportunity in just about a year to remove him. The reason why you don't wait for the American people to do that, because you have a bloody nose and a black eye for 2016. You don't expect the American people to remove him. So you continue with this impeachment inquiry as an effort to offer, you know, body blows, to use boxing analogy, to try to wear out the president, to create some type of dent in his political armor, and use that as a basis for people to vote against him in 2020.
But the sad thing is there's a lot of people, as you know, that don't necessarily follow the news that closely. And so they might think, oh, well, you know, President Trump, he's being impeached. He's been accused of this. He's been accused of that. Well, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why you see the continued pursuit of this narrative. You know, if you had the goods, and remember, there has been an effort to unseat the president from the day he was inaugurated. The House of Representatives had running committees existing for the express purposes of finding evidence to impeach President Trump. If you have the factual evidence to support the president's removal, then what would you be waiting for if you're in the House of Representatives? What are you waiting for? No, they're going to slow walk this for as long as possible to try to, as I alluded to earlier, to try to continue to create the imprimatur that where there's smoke, there is fire. And let's be honest, the Russian investigation did have an effect on the midterm elections in 2018.
Yeah.
And so because there was an effect there, it resulted in a Democrat majority in the House of Representatives. They recognized, well, hey, this is something that has aided us in the past, in the recent past. Why not continue with that process now? And one of the things that's really concerning for me is that we used to live in a country where, regardless of your political persuasion, there was almost a unanimous patriotism that permeated both parties. Well, we're now living in an era where it's a kind of, well, if I can't play ball, no one can play ball, and to where you not only you check out of the game, but you burn the entire court down in the process. That's what we're facing, to where we have people that are willing to completely trample our republic into, in my opinion, irrevocably malign the presidency solely because they did not like the outcome of the 2016 election.
It's really sad. I mean, it's a great country. Well, it lasted. No, it's not over, and it's worth fighting for. I mean, in fact, I'm reading a book right now about the Civil War. This one is from Grant's perspective. It's, in fact, the name of the book is Grant. It's a terrific book by Ron Chernow. But it makes you realize what people sacrifice for. It's worth fighting for, America is. Don't you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly. And I do believe, in spite of what may appear to be a dim picture that I presented, I think the entire impeachment inquiry will ultimately backfire because it gives the background for more and more light to be offered for the facts. And I think the American people will ultimately be able to distinguish what's going on here. There was a recent effort, I believe this was CNN, to interview people in states, in Minnesota and other states, and interviewed people who described themselves as Democrat voters and Republican voters. And amongst the Democrat voters, none of the Democrat voters would initiate a conversation about the impeachment inquiry. And that kind of shocked the news reporter there. But among the Republican voters, the impeachment inquiry was readily discussed. And the Republican voters were energized because they felt like this inquiry was, just as I said, another iteration of a groundless, baseless resist Trump effort, whereas amongst the Democrat voters, they kind of wanted to move past impeachment conversations because it did not feel like it was productive for the country. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a telltale sign as to what is coming for the future of America. But certainly, this country is absolutely worth fighting for. And in my perspective, the only way you lose is if you quit.
Mm. Amen. And the Lord does not call us to do that. We can certainly all
Amen.
Agree on that. Okay, Abraham, what are your comments about the whistleblower or whistleblowers in this particular case?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you follow that in detail, you had the manipulation of the legal standard for whistleblowers just before you had a so-called whistleblower who had no firsthand knowledge of anything. I found it to be pretty interesting and rather curious. And to date, again, what we have so far by ways of evidence is nothing concrete. It's nothing evidence. What we have so far is conjecture and opinion. You know, and, you know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has at least one. Some have two, and many of them stink. And that is the basis that this whistleblower complaint has been asserted so far. And I think without any further evidence of nefarious dealings on the part of the president, I think the establishment of this whistleblower or whistleblowers, it will fall flat too, just like the Mueller report. Ultimately, after 3 years and $30 to $40 million fell flat, I think this will fall flat too.
Hmm. All right. What about the idea that there's a phrase that somebody died of 1,000 cuts? That's the one thing that concerns me, you know, especially with even the most recent election, you know, in early November 2019 in Virginia, for example, you know, there was the phrase revolt in the suburbs against Trump. Your comments?
Well, there's one thing for sure in Virginia. It's a unique place because of the continuing expansion of the Leviathan state. Virginia's demographics have changed significantly to where it's heavily populated by government employees. But you have, conversely, in Kentucky, and a lot of people were saying that, oh, the Kentucky election also represents a revolt in the suburbs. But if you follow that election, you'll find out that's not true. Republicans nominated every race except for the governor's race. So it was more an issue with the governor, the incumbent governor candidate, than it was the entire state of Kentucky. So I do think Virginia is an outlier, so to speak. I don't think most states have the type of demographic changes that Virginia has undergone in the last, you know, several decades. But I do think it's noteworthy because one of the significant results of the Virginia race is that it's right before the 2020 census. And so Virginia's state house will now be able to draw redistricting lines that would favor different types of congressional candidates going forward. So I do think it's significant, but I don't think it's as significant as some would try to make it to be.
All right, we have 20 seconds left. Your website is afa.net. How stands the city on a hill at this moment?
Well, I think the city on the hill is in the place where we must remain vigilant. I think that the Lord's bride must continue to shine bright, and the light always dispatches the darkness, but the light must be continually presented in order to do that.
Mm. All right. Abraham Hamilton III, thanks again for being with us. AFANet.net for more information. Thank you, Abraham.
Thank you, Jerry. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.